Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. It's my goal as a minister to someday have a sermon that everybody will quote for the next 100 years just like that. Don't hold your breath. I don't think it's going to happen. Interestingly enough, when Abraham Lincoln gave this at the Gettysburg in that area 165 some years ago, it wasn't a well-known speech at that time. In fact, it was almost forgotten. Somebody dug it out later and realized how much that fit the birth of our nation. Interestingly enough, we understand that this country might have been the first experience in recorded world history, at least according to Jeffrey Sikenja, who wrote this article, the idea that all people are endowed by their Creator with the same rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are words in our Declaration of Independence. According to him, this is the first time in recorded history that a government had a genuine conversation about establishing a government dedicated to liberty and justice. Christ talked about it many times, individuals talked about it, but this was the first time in recorded world history that a government talked about it. I hadn't thought of that, so I learned something new each and every day. One of the reasons that some of the early pioneers moved here to establish the colonies in the early 1600s was to practice religious freedom. They were escaping religious persecution. That's another interesting factor in our history. The scripture passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And rather than read it, I'll very simply tell you the story. Abraham and Lot were two brothers. I don't know how close in age they were. Maybe not quite as close as Ezra and Olin this morning, but they were two brothers and they were very wealthy. And it says in Scripture that the land could not support both of them. One of them was going to have to move if they wanted their farms to be as big as they were. So Abraham said to Lot, "You pick." He was practicing generosity. "You pick which area you want." And Lot looked and saw in the distance a land that seemed to go on forever, and it seemed to be a very wealthy prospect for him. And so he practiced greed and chose that land and moved his family to that property. Abraham stayed where he was. Both of them prospered. But the difference is that Lot chose a land where a lot of evil was going on at the time, and it happened to be the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, which would later be destroyed. And so the greed that Lot had in originally moving to that area, that didn't last very long. We have a lot of room in our country today. It's one of the largest countries in the world. It's certainly one of the most powerful. And I have not a new appreciation, but a reminder of the appreciation for it, that when you do something and you try and keep everybody on the same level and give everybody the same rights and respect everybody the same way, that's something unique. That doesn't just happen the world over. Now, it's true that slavery is in there somewhere, but Abraham Lincoln took steps to address that. And this Gettysburg Address was actually the founding of trying to fix that problem. There's the issue of men's rights versus women's rights. And in the last 100 years in this country, we've come a long ways toward that. Maybe we have a long way to go on that count yet. But we're trying. And we're doing pretty well with it, really, when you think about it. Other countries have copied us. Many countries in the world that are thriving are doing the same thing we're doing, trying to establish that everybody's equal and that everybody has rights. Even the country which we tried to get out from under changed over time. And now England has some of the same goals that we do. Interestingly enough, I have heard, and there's historical precedent for this, how much longer is this country going to last? And even on Christian radio and hearing preachers talk, oh, it's not going to last forever because history shows that every dynasty at some point comes to an end and somebody else takes over. We just don't know when our time's going to be. Well, I've had some second thoughts about that. If this is truly the first time in recorded history that a country has been founded on establishing a government dedicated to liberty and justice, maybe there is no end in sight. However, there is one thing that might bring us down. And someone said what's going to bring us down is going to come from within, not any external force, but something within us. And it's greed. the desire that we need to have more than we currently have. In the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas is walking on the beach. Actually, he's giving an address to the shareholders of a corporation. He's talking about how valuable greed is and how important it is to establishing wealth and might in a country and how important it is for that country. Greed is a good thing. And he argues quite eloquently for that, and I'm guessing if you saw that film, there might have been something in your head, well, yeah, I can see where greed is a good thing the way he's talking about it. And yet at the same time, it can be the thing that tears us apart. Because just as the land was not big enough to support both Abraham and Lot, the world's not big enough to support a whole bunch of countries that are going to behave like we've behaved. So we need to think about that a little bit. And one of the things that I noticed between the vices that we're talking about, we're on greed and generosity this morning, and the virtue that we're talking about is how close they come together and how the lines blur a little bit. I'll tell you how this has happened for me. I become greedy in ways that I don't even realize I'm greedy. Two things that I have learned to appreciate in my later days, coffee, which I didn't start drinking until about 10 years ago, and chocolate, which I've always liked. I found out if you put the chocolate in the coffee, then it really makes it good, and that's when I started drinking it. Two things that are grown in other places primarily than in this country, and two industries where the people that work on the plantations that grow these things don't have a very good life. Chocolate especially. They have been doing some research that there are young boys, 12, 13 years old, that work as many as 12 hours a day for just tiny little wages, and that's all they can get. And in order to support their family, it's the only job they have. Where does that chocolate go? A lot of it comes here, or the ingredients that make it. So I find myself, well, as long as I can get my chocolate and my coffee, I understand that that's hurting some people, but as long as I can get mine, and then maybe Mark can do without his, and what he doesn't have can help them over there. That starts to well up within me a little bit, and I turn greedy in ways that I'm not even aware. Gasoline. Do you like the price of gas these days? It's actually a lot cheaper than it is in many other countries. Several years ago, during an election cycle, the independent candidate for president, John Anderson, proposed a 50 cents per gallon gas tax as part of his campaign platform. And the reason he proposed that is we need money to rebuild some of our infrastructure. This is the best way to do it. Does the name John Anderson ring any bells with anybody? He didn't get very far in that election process, and a lot of people didn't like that. And I guarantee you that whoever our candidates are for president this year, they're not going to propose a 50 cents a gallon gas tax. We're used to getting reasonable resources like this. We burn almost 20 million barrels of the stuff per day, and the cheaper it is, the better we can live. And sometimes we might not even realize the damage it's doing to the rest of the world. So, if this culture is going to fall apart, it might be because of our greed and our desire to have things that cause a problem with the rest of the world. Now, I'll do a commercial here for the Agape Shop in Watertown. They sell fair trade coffee and fair trade chocolate. And we've been selling it in the back on behalf of the youth group for a fundraiser, where that particular coffee and that particular bag of chocolate comes from a plantation that practices better employment practices for the employees that work there and pays them a fair wage. And so we encourage you, if you are hooked on these two things like I am, check that out as an option. Greed destroys our peace both as a nation and individually. We have fought a lot of wars in order to protect our resources and to protect our lifestyle the way it is. There's a Vietnam veteran I got to know pretty well in Western New York who insists that the entire Vietnam War was not about stopping communism. It was about rubber and rice and making sure we had access to those two things. That was his observation as a soldier. Right or wrong, I don't know. As an individual, when I get greedy and when I start to want to protect my little empire within my four walls at home or my position in the community, I lay awake at night figuring out ways how to do this. And if I start to feel like my property is threatened in any way, I start to get anxious. And the joy of generosity does not fill my heart, but rather stress, anxiety, and worry. And that's why I titled this Threat to a Long Life, because stress and anxiety and worry do not help you live any longer than what you're living right now. So if you want to last a while, don't be greedy.